Good morning. It's great to see you. I'm going to go back to Joshua 1. For those of you who were waiting with great anticipation to find out if we ended up there or not, there's your answer. And I'll move on from it this week, seeing as the changes that we started talking about have now changed again. So... Joshua 1 and verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord God, your God, will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he's done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. We've spent quite a few weeks here. I'm primarily focused on a group of people who are going to cross the Jordan. Because that's the majority of the Israelites. There's this promised land in Canaan, and they're waiting to go across into the land that's been promised to them. But there's this other group of people, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, who've already settled somewhere. They've already established their land. Numbers 32 in verse 1 says this, the Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the leaders of the community and said, Atoroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealeh, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel, are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. They found a chunk of land that they think works for them. And their request is, give us this. We'll settle here. Please don't make us go across the Jordan. They've got their land, their livestock, their wives and their children, and they're settled. Moses isn't delighted at their request in Numbers 32. Numbers 32 and verse 6, Moses said to the Gadites and the Reubenites, "Should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord your God has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord had given them." I don't normally do points, but let me make this first point. Where you settle can discourage others. Where you settle can discourage others. What you settle for can be discouraging to others. The Reubenites and Gadites aren't in any way saying anything discouraging to the people of Israel. Their fathers came back and said, "Yes, the land's flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're going to get a batter in here." All they're saying is, there's this land here and it works. It works for us. It works. And Moses asks this staggering question, why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord has given them? I wonder if in my settling sometimes I've discouraged other people in their pursuit of the promise. Because actually this'll do. This'll do. This works for me. It's not the land flowing with milk and honey. It's not what God's leading us into right now. But this works for me. This is enough. I've got livestock and my livestock can live here. We can build cities and our wives and children will fortify the cities. They'll be okay. This works. And I settle. And in my settling, I actually have the capacity to discourage others. They haven't even seen the land yet. I mean, it's not an informed decision, is it? They haven't crossed over and gone, "Well, actually, we like this chunk over here better." They've not gone and viewed what's available. They've just gone, "This works." This'll do. And what they've determined is a destination for them is only meant to be a camping ground for others. The place that they've decided they're settling and calling home is actually a land the rest of them are just passing through. But it's been a long journey. And a lot of stuff's happened. And all that's in front of them isn't too pretty. So we'll just stay here if it's okay. And I have the capacity to settle for less than what God has for me. But also in my settling, I have the capacity to discourage others who are pursuing the promise of God for their lives. So an agreement's reached in Numbers 32. Your wives, your children, your livestock, they can stay here. But all of your fighting men, they need to go over and help their fellow Israelites take hold of the land the God's giving them. Joshua says it like this to them. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he's done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. Because it's not every tribe for themselves. I guess we probably live in a fairly individualistic society now. Where you just do you. You do you. I'll do me. If it doesn't negatively impact you, you won't be bothered by my actions. And if vice versa. And as long as I'm okay, I'm okay. And whatever's happening to other people is kind of like, well, but a group of people who have settled in a land and called it their own, they've got nothing to gain by going into the promised land. And yet they make a commitment to go and fight on behalf of the Israelites. And I wonder, if I can say it like this, and please hear me, I mean it well. Some of us in the room have been on the journey for a while. And we've stopped in some places and we're quite comfortable now. This is what my faith looks like. This is how it looks for me. And as long as I'm okay, as long as it works for me, I've got my stuff out of this. It serves its purpose for me right now. And so I'm not willing to get involved in some other stuff. If it puts me out, I don't really want to have to. This is what Philippians 2, verse 1 says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. I find that one of the most challenging bits of the Bible. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. The expectation isn't that I go, well, I'm okay. It's like, oh, they haven't got what they're meant to get yet. It's not, I'm satisfied and I, so listen. We'll just stay here because we've got what we need and listen, all the best. Romans 12 and verse 5 says, in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We spent some time looking at the body some time ago. But here's the reality. I'm yours this morning. I belong to you. We are united together in something that means actually when you succeed, I succeed. When you struggle, I struggle. Paul says it like this, when one part rejoices, all the parts rejoice with it. When one part suffers, all of the parts suffer with it. There's a reality that actually I don't live just for me. I live for him, and because I live for him, I live for you. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And a group of people who have settled. They've got what they need out of this. It served its purpose for them. Are sending all of their men off to fight for something they don't get any part of. They're not going to get more land on the other side of the Jordan. They're going to fight war after war after war. They're away for a long time. Joshua chapter 22 is when Joshua sends them back to their people. The end of Joshua chapter 21 says, not one of the Lord's great promises to Israel failed. And then Joshua 22, he sends the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh back to the other side. They're away for a long time. It takes 7 years. But they don't just go with them. They don't just go with them. See, I'm committed to having some people's backs. And I'm right behind them in there. And I'm willing to cheer them on. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh go first. Verse 14 of Joshua 1, all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. Joshua 4 and verse 12 says, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over ready for battle in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. They're the people with the least to gain and the most to lose. Yet, they don't dawdle along at the back. They're not there for worst case scenario provisions. They're the front line of the Israelites crossing the Jordan. They go first. They're expected to lead the way. It's easy, I guess, to be supportive from a distance. And it's amazing how many armchair experts there are on a whole variety of topics. I'm a football fan. I like football. It's greatly entertaining to me to listen to people who stopped playing football when they were 15 and they weren't very good at it at that point in time have the solution to all of Man United's problems and know exactly how players who get paid millions of pounds to do their job should be playing and how they're getting it all wrong. All from reclining in their chair at home. I guess more recently everybody's probably become a bit of a political expert. And we all know how to fix the country. We've all got the answers. But there's something different about people who lead the way. Who aren't saying, hey, it would be really good if you did this. That would be listen, we've watched the battle at work itself now, and I think this is the tactical plan you should go for. Lots of love from the other side of the Jordan. We've given some consideration to these matters and we think this is what you should do. From our comfortable bed in our fortified city, a few miles away. But people who actually turn up and go, yeah, we're going to fight. And we'll fight in front of you. We're committed and we'll go ahead of you. It's a different level. And I'm going to tell you that's the way the discipleship journey is supposed to be outworked. Paul's words, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Be imitators of me as I am also an imitator of Christ. I'm out in front here, walking this thing out. Look what I'm doing and follow. I think that's how it works. I think I think we're quite good at knowing what everybody else should do at times. I have some level of understanding to be able to say what the right thing to do is in some scenarios. And this is what you should do. And this is how it should look. And I'll fix you from a distance. But I'm very dubious to take anybody advice from anybody whose life doesn't resemble the life I want to live. Let me say it to you, like, really frankly. I'll struggle. For you to tell me how I should be doing things when I look at your life and think, why aren't you doing it? And there's this group of people, 2.5 tribes of Israel, who've settled somewhere. They've found their place and gone, this works for us. This is sufficient for what we need. This will do. And Moses thinks that's utterly discouraging to everybody else. So they agree, we'll go and help them. And we'll lead the way. And I wonder if I can say it like this. For some of us settled people, if there's something we should learn from that. I don't mean that offensively. And you can make an assessment of your own heart if that's you or not. But I've been around church a while. I have no doubt people settle because they've got what they need. I've got what I need out of this. But if that's where I live, I might be discouraging other people. Because if it's exclusively about me, I think you've missed the point. And so you might get what you need. But my Bible tells me it is more blessed to give than to receive. I have received something from him. What I'm meant to do is pour that out. Invest that into other people. Take what I've been given. The fact that I can leave my livestock, my wives, and my children at home. I've only got one wife. I'd like to clarify that. And I own no livestock or children. But the fact that I can do that, so I can come and fight with you, so I can stand with you in the fiercest of battles, so that I can go in front of you. Paul in Colossians 2 and verse 1 talks about contending for the church there and in Laodicea. I'm fighting for you. I wonder if I'm willing to contend for you. I wonder if you're willing to contend for me sometimes. I wonder if actually there's a commitment on each other's behalf that though I've got all I need right now and life's very comfortable, I'm willing to make myself uncomfortable for your sake. Though I'm settled here, I don't want my settling to be a discouragement to you in the midst of hardship and difficulty. When you've got to go and fight war after war after war, I don't want the fact that I have found a place that I am comfortable and content to be a reason that you lose hope. Because the reality is, most of us don't recognize the journey everybody else has been on. You've no idea the battles I've had to fight. You don't know what it took for me to get to a settled place. And actually, there's a danger that me reclined in my chair going, oh, well, you shouldn't do that. And if you'd gone left there, you'd have been much better off. From my settled place, just looks really ugly. As well-intentioned as it might be. Again and again and again, the Psalms talk about one generation telling the next the great and glorious deeds of God. About generations recounting the details to those not yet known, the wonders God did. And nearly all of those wonders start in hardship or difficulty. So God parts the Red Sea. Why? Because the Egyptian army are racing down towards the Israelites. The Israelites are covered in panic and fear. And so the Lord delivers them. The place it starts is really ugly. They've walked out of somewhere, and now they're getting chased. And I wonder if actually from my settled place, I need to share the reality of how I got there. Because whilst everything looks good and glorious right now, hasn't always been. Whilst everything looks really comfortable from this position, my whole life hasn't been lived there. And I've been through this. I have led the way. So when I say to you, imitate me as I imitate Christ, it's not through insincerity about or concern about your current affairs. It's with an understanding, I've walked through something of life and I'm committed to helping you from the place where I've settled. I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone and do something. Even though I've got everything I need here. I don't know. But here's what I'd like to do. We try to make space regularly to fellowship together. So next Sunday, I'm going to cook lunch. Here's what I would love to happen in our service. Half a dozen people. Take 5 minutes. And tell us something of what God brought you through. We'll turn the cameras off. We won't. Don't have to worry about it necessarily being publicized for all. But I wonder if some of you might think about saying, hey, like I might look settled right now. But here's the reality of what I've walked through. Because I don't want my settling to be a discouragement to you. I don't want the comfort that I appear to be living in to be a discouragement to you. I actually want you to be encouraged by the fact that God keeps his promises, fulfills his word, does everything he says, even though it often involves hardship and difficulty. Think about it. If you'd like to do it, let me know. But I think it would have great value. Beyond what you might recognize. Should we stand together and worship?